This is Senator Eugene McCarthy speaking to you from Washington. The week of July the 4th is a particularly appropriate time to devote serious thought to what has become the nation's most pressing domestic social challenge, that of civil rights. In celebrating Independence Day, it is well to recall that the men who fought to establish a free nation in the American Revolution were themselves seeking civil rights, the right to self-government. One of the most oppressive aspects of British rule was not so much taxation, which is always oppressive, but it was taxation without representation. It was a taxation which was imposed upon people without their being consulted or without their being permitted to deliberate or to pass a judgment upon it. The Negro in the southern part of the United States, who is denied the right to register as a voter today, nearly two centuries after our nation achieved independence, and after the Emancipation Proclamation and the 14th and 15th Amendments, is also a victim of taxation without representation, of government without representation. The President's broad program of civil rights measures, which have recently been submitted to the Congress, has, of course, touched off new debate on this very vital question, spread to many quarters of the country. In the course of this debate, there is a danger, I think, that the actual substance of the President's proposals may be obscured. It is well to review and to consider what the President has proposed and what Congress will be considering. In general, the proposals are designed to prevent racial discrimination in public accommodations, in schools, in jobs, and in elections, designed to protect the Negro from being denied treatment in public in the same way that other people are treated in public, to prevent his being denied the opportunity to go to school as other people go to school, or to have a job for which he is qualified, and of course to participate in the basic act of democracy in voting in free elections. Most controversial so far has been the public accommodations proposal, which is designed to guarantee Negroes equal access to such facilities as hotels and motels and stores and public restaurants. It would authorize the federal government to file suits if necessary to enforce such equality. The administration has based the government's authority to act in this area on its power to regulate interstate commerce and also appealing to the 14th Amendment, which prohibits the individual states from denying to anyone the privileges and immunities of United States citizenship and the equal protection of the law. This proposal involving important constitutional questions will most likely continue to attract great interest as Congress proceeds in its deliberations. A second proposal would authorize the Attorney General of the United States to file suits if necessary to enforce the integration of public schools and colleges. The government now has authority to file suits to protect the voting rights of individuals. The extension of this authority to cases involving public accommodations and education recalls the Title III proposal of the Eisenhower Administration Civil Rights Bill in 1957, which would have authorized suits for the protection of any civil rights. Congress limited this authority to voting rights at that time. With respect to the schools, the President is also proposing that the federal government provide technical and financial aid when requested to help local school authorities in the process of desegregation. This would eliminate the economic excuse which might otherwise exist. With respect to voting, the President is calling for three steps. One, in federal elections, to prohibit unequal application of voter registration requirements, or the use of literacy tests which are not taken in writing, or denial of the right to vote based on errors or omission on the individual's record or application that are not material to his qualifications. And two, with respect to literacy tests, to require that anyone with a sixth grade education be presumed to be literate. My own judgment is that this test perhaps is unnecessary in anyone who is not a criminal or not judged to be mentally defective, who is over the age of 21 or whatever the voting age may be, should be permitted to vote. And three, in areas where less than 15% of the Negroes are registered and a voting suit is pending in court, to accept this as evidence that some kind of federal intervention is necessary, and therefore to permit court-appointed referees to register those who are qualified under state law, provide for a rapid treatment of voting rights suits in federal courts. These proposals would extend and modify the authority the federal government already possesses under the 1957 and the 1960 civil rights laws and under the interpretations of the Constitution by the Supreme Court. Another proposal is that to establish a community relations service to help local communities relieve racial tensions and resolve racial disputes. The President has stated that he plans to establish this service first by executive order, pending action by Congress. It is also proposed that any program in which the federal government provides direct or indirect financial aid, the federal administrator would not be required to provide such aid if there was evidence of racial discrimination in the programs for which such aid was supplied. Moreover, all government contracts let in such programs would bar discrimination in employment by either contractors or subcontractors. Congressional action on such a list of proposals will not be completed overnight, but I am optimistic that Congress will approve a comprehensive and significant civil rights measure this year. This is Senator Eugene McCarthy speaking from Washington.